You are listening to Carousel Radio.
And on this episode of Carousel, we've called it a very nice font.
Carousel Radio.
You're listening to Carousel Radio.
Broadcasting a creative voice of people with a learning disability.
Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
The Sea King returns. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Carousel Radio. My name's Jason, and joining me today is my right-hand merman,
Joel.
Hey, Joel.
Joel, friend to all fish. For this show, we'll be hearing more Radio Diaries in Sounds Like My Life, where neurodiverse people talk about the challenges and triumphs of their daily lives.
We've got music from Dean Rodney Jr. and The Cowboys.
And we'll be hearing from Johnny Schachter as he shares a story of what would happen if his father was Prime Minister.
And we'll begin by heading down to the beach, where we were going to meet Electric Mutant X for a story inspired by the sea, in You, Me, and the Sea.
Carousel Radio.
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
Radio. Radio.
The sea, the beach and coastline hold a special place in the human imagination. We wandered down to Brighton seafront to hear what was going on.
This is a pantoum, which is a repeating patterned formal verse. It is a Malaysian form of poetry. She dances in freedom. The night longs to be held. Everything closes to microscopic searches for her anchor. The night longs to be held. She meets him by the ocean, searches for her anchor. He is there in stone against tide. She meets him by the ocean. She wants to relish him. He is there in stone against tide, a delighted union. She wants to relish him. She dances in freedom, a delighted union. Everything closes to microscopic.
Thanks to Electric Mutant X for the story. And now it's time for... Jingle.
Sea Facts!
So today we're going to talk about a creature called the Sand Dollar.
Okay.
So the Sand Dollar is described as a round, flattened, burrowing urchin. They have about a 10-year lifespan. They like to live together on the sea floor. The Sand Dollar, surprisingly, when alive, feels like velvet because of their bodies are covered in tiny feet and spines. Their spines and feet are used for walking, digging and breathing. They like to eat microscopic plants and animal life. Young sea dollars make themselves heavier by eating grains of sand. They are related to starfish, and how they got their name was, they were washed up onto the beach, and after they die, they turn white, and they've got like a shell, and it reminds them of silver currency.
Oh, coin dollars.
Yeah, coin dollars.
Ah.
So they're actually called the sand dollar for that reason. So Joel, since I've got this lovely description here, I would like for you to imitate what you think this creature would sound like.
Ting. It's a silver dollar.
Although, considering, one of the facts I have here was that they like to live in bunches. What would happen if you just dropped a whole bunch out of a bucket?
Ting-ting-ting-ting-ting-ting-ting-ting-ting-ting.
And that's Sea Facts.
Now, earlier you heard Electric Mutant X, who is part of the Carousel Arts Cafe, of which I'm also part of. But among us is a other person, Charlie Hatton, who has a little story to share.
Welcome to a spooky edition of Charlie Hatton's wonderful world of stories. You are in for a horrifyingly good time about a poor defenseless pumpkin becoming a jack-o'-lantern and meeting an awfully grisly fate. Enjoy, if you dare.
Oh,
Oh, why am I on a kitchen table? Oh, don't tell me it's Halloween again. Just because it's the last day of October doesn't mean that those brats can scoop out my innards and carve a silly face or a stupid picture on me. I mean, it's completely degrading. I mean, it won't happen to my cousin, the watermelon, or probably the cucumber, or even a courgette, for that matter. No, not the scalpel! Don't scoop out my innards, I can't live without them! No, don't cut these!
I hate Halloween.
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
So, quick segment now. So, I want to quickly ask you, Joel, if there's one thing you would want to see in the sky, what is it?
I might as well start with the cliche, a pig. As in, it won't happen until pigs fly.
If he catapulted a pig, would that classify as flying it?
I mean, I would say that. I'm sure others would disagree. What else would I like? Sky writers crop up a lot in, TV and stuff, and, I've never actually encountered one. I wouldn't mind a personal message like, Joel, you're a ledge, and I was like, yeah.
Nice.
What's yours?
For mine, I would like to see a full rainbow. Now, I know this, you know this, and a lot of people probably won't know, but halos are actually 100% a circle, a full circle.
They are.
Basically, a halo of pure colour. And what I find really amusing is...
He means rainbow, not halo.
You'll never find the pot of gold in the end of it, because it's a pure circle.
So anyway, back to what you said, you want to see a full circle rainbow.
Yeah, a full arc. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can. It's technically possible to see one. If you're at the right angle of the ocean, you can actually it will finish, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, because I've only seen a half one, and I think at once I saw a three-quarter one, but it wasn't a full one.
That's fair.
So what's your opinion on double rainbows?
They are adorable. I love them.
There's also such a thing as triple rainbows.
I've never encountered one of those.
I saw one once, and I'm disappointed to this day that I haven't seen another one. So that's basically what I would like to see in the sky. And now, up next, writer Johnny Schachter imagines how the 20th century would have been different if his father, Mal Schachter, had beaten Winston Churchill in the general election held in November 1940.
Hi. My name is Johnny Schachter, and I like writing for Carousel, and I have a background in history and foreign languages, and as the story has developed, it might interest you, dear reader, in what I like doing. It's all about history, or a perverse history. If Dr. Mel Schachter, Johnny Schachter's dad, was Prime Minister of England, by Johnny Schachter.
November the 9th, 1940.
What a big upset. The Daily Telegraph announces Dr. Mel Schachter beats Winston Spencer Churchill in the national elections. Dad, leader of the Liberal Party, makes and creates a big upset in British politics. What will he do? Now Churchill will be the leader of the opposition. Churchill responds,
"First, I'm dumbfounded. Dr. Mel Schachter won fair and square. Mel is a credit to the human race. He is a great and compassionate man. Although I am sore that I lost, it is a great pleasure to lose to such a nice guy. May you live long and prosper."
Part 2. Failed assassination attempt. There was an attempt to politically assassinate my father in June of 1941, but it failed. Hitler tried the salami sandwich trick, as it was famously called. The Germans went to 10 Downing Street and kept throwing salami sandwiches in his face, repetitively and intensely. But my father retaliated by eating all the sandwiches and then getting a good night's sleep. Dad was very quick to anger, so the following morning he retaliated. Dad befriended Klaus Philipp von Stauffenberg, who also wanted to assassinate Hitler. They meet Hitler and force him to chain smoke. After 100 or so cigarettes, Hitler dies from lung cancer
and everybody is happy again. The evil monster is dead. I'm so overjoyed, says Dad. Staffenberg is voted in unanimously the following morning as president of Germany. He gives Poland back to the Poles and puts Czechoslovakia back the way it was, as well as Austria. Staffenberg becomes very sympathetic towards the Jewish people. The Jewish people are now emancipated, so Dad says, how about if Alberta, Canada becomes a new independent Jewish state? So on October the 1st, 1941, the state of Judeo-Alberta is formed. Millions of Jews immigrate, and Martin Gilbert becomes prime minister. How happy everyone is. Martin runs the country of Judeo-Alberta superbly. Everyone likes him. Every house has a Coke machine. Edmonton is the capital. Money is put into education, and in every college, university, and school, the language of Gilbertish is learned. Martin is loved by millions, and they vote him in election after election. Finally, in 1960, after 20 years of ruling the state, he retires. In 1940, he defeated the evil William Eberhardt.
Aftermath of 1941.
Because Dad became prime minister, World War II never happened. The invaded countries, such as Norway, were restored the way they were. There was a conference held in January of 1942 when Dad declared, I will eat and eat for a month until I am completely satisfied. Ruthie, his wife, was against this, but said,
well, he is my husband and I love him, but I am protesting because he is overweight.
Nevertheless, for a month, Dad ate and ate and was really happy.
You have just heard from Johnny Schachter in a Canoe broadcast for an alternative reality history, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And that was part one of Johnny's story, and we'll hear part two in next month's show.
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
You are listening to a very nice font.
So, for this little segment, I would like to talk about fixing school dinners. And what I have done is I have separated it, for my personal thing, into three categories, which I will then read. I will then ask your opinion, Joel, and then you can tell me if you have any way you want to fix the school dinners. Sound good?
I don't think I have a choice, sir.
Too late. So the first segment is the ban hammer, and these are foods I want to ban from schools, which is vegan cheese.
This is not the first time you've gone off about vegan cheese.
Rice pudding, frozen pizza, tuna paste sandwiches, and of course, the very important thing, vegan cheese. The second option thing I've got is called the menus. This is what I would do. So on Mondays, I would have lasagna, and for dessert, it would be jam sponge.
Okay.
Tuesdays, it would be tacos.
Really?
Yeah, Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, but I don't know if you noticed this, but south of us is Cornwall.
Yeah, yeah.
And then France.
For Tuesday's dessert, I would probably pick something called Spotted Dick. Wednesday would be chicken salad and apple pie. Thursday would be mild curry and jelly and ice cream. And Friday, everyone's favourite, bangers and mash with waffles.
So you go Taco Tuesday, but you don't do fish on Fridays.
Yeah, I know, weird, right? Now, the lunch policy. I would make all meals free for students who cannot afford to pay for them.
Yep.
Alternative food will be available for all students who have special dietary requirements, except vegan cheese. I would have enough food available for students to have seconds of their main course, however, not for desserts. And I would have fruit juice available to drink, as sometimes water is just $2 of a drink to have with dinner. So, Joel, your opinion and then your version.
I mean, the only thing I've got to say is, like, dude, you need to let go of vegan cheese.
Never.
I have never thought about school dinners nor what to do for them for, I don't want to reveal my age, but it's been a while. At the time, all I had was chicken burgers, or rather I would ask for chicken, bread and some ketchup when I was young, and fundamentally, not much has changed. Jason, you have successfully struck a chord of which I have no opinion on. It is fascinating that you've done that. I would like to point out, audience, that he is actually silently cheering that he has finally stumped me. I'll show this, though, Jason, actually. One of my favourite things to make... I'm a big fan of bean and barley stew. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of that. I mean, it has some issues, namely gluten, but apart from that, yeah, I've made it for myself a few times. One time, yeah. No joke, I made it, and I made like a vat of it. It was like, it lasted 10 days. And wow. I remember at some point, I called my mum, and I was like, Mum, I'm kind of bored of this. And she goes, Joel, are you asking me permission to order a pizza? I was like, yes.
The best thing I've ever made actually came out of an accident because I messed up the recipe.
You have my attention, sir.
I wanted to make falafel curry. So I looked on Google and there was only one recipe which came from Australia. Do you know what you're meant to do with falafel curry? You're meant to freeze the falafel so it doesn't lose its shape.
Yeah.
I didn't do that and the falafel melted in part of the sauce, thus created my own very unique curry.
So it was like a fried hummus
kind curry. Kind of, yeah. But the weird thing was I presented this as a party gift for this group of people. They bring your own stuff.
Potluck.
And the curry sold out faster than anything else. And I was trying to figure out why, because I got the recipe wrong.
When it comes to cooking, you really are a man of extremes. You either strike gold or burn pizza.
Yeah, so thank you, Australia, for that.
Carousel Radio.
In the past, here on Carousel Radio, we've really enjoyed the music of the Fish Police. Lead singer, Dean Rodney Jr., has a new band, and they're called Dean Rodney Jr. and the Cowboys. From their latest LP, the Yeehaw Moment, this is Blue Stars.
Calm yourself. Calm yourself. Calm yourself. I can't see her face, 'cause something in the way, something on her face, like a mystery person.
That was Blue Stars by Dean Rodney Jr. and the Cowboys. You can hear their album, The Yeehaw Moment, on streaming services or buy it on vinyl or digital download at Bandcamp. Visit deanrodneyjr.bandcamp.com. Now you can buy this on a deluxe 12-inch vinyl and £1.50 for every sale will go to Heart and Soul, a charitable arts organisation who believes in the power and talents of people with a learning disability and autism.
Now it's time to hear from some real people in the real world in Sounds Like My Life. We ask people across the world to share the challenges and triumphs of their daily lives. In this episode, we'll be hearing from Sam, Johnny, Susanna, and Stuart. Let's start by catching up with a singer with the Carousel Chorus, Susanna, and her experiences acting in a film for the Stay Up Late campaign.
Hello everyone, my name is Susanna. I live in Lewis and I'm a poet, mostly my poems about nature, and I'm a member of the Carousel Chorus and I love to sing. So the last time we spoke to your radio show, I spoke about filming the Stay Up Late, and their campaign is to try and make a change to learning disabled people's lives who have to go home early because their carers are saying, right, it's time to go home now, because the manager at the house is saying that you have to return early. You know, you've got a 9 o'clock curfew, you have to go home now. My role was to play a character. I was in three scenes. And one of the scenes I filmed was, I was saying that I wanted to go out, and the manager was saying no. And the other person as well was saying, I really want to go out, but he was saying, no, you can't go out. It's what do you prefer, but I'm not going to let you go. There was one more scene that I did where someone had had enough at the party. So it was, we were all drinking drinks and having a great time. And someone put their hand up and said, I'm really sorry, I need to go home. So all of the other party goers had to leave early. So the film highlights about learning disability people having a difficult night and having to go home early. And this charity tries to raise awareness of it. The days to filming were quite nerve-wracking because I didn't know what to expect, you know, how many people were going to be there. It was fun. And I worked with a professional actor who's been in different theatre shows and actually on TV. He said that I was really good and I should look into workshops or theatres that would have me. And this was paid employment as well, which I'm so grateful for. I've definitely gained more confidence from it and definitely a self-aware of what is right to be paid for a job. You know, the amount I got was fairly decent. And I think that I understand that some charities are struggling to pay their fellow artists. And for me, being paid was important because it felt like I've done something good at the end of the day. And it was nice to share it with my family, to show the videos to my family and friends.
Thanks to Susanna and Lewis. The charity Stay Up Late has a project called Gig Buddies. Quoting from their website, Gig Buddies aims to enable people with learning disabilities and autistic people to enjoy all the great things going on in their community. Next, we have Johnny, born in Canada, but a long-term resident in Brighton, talking about his gig buddy and love of music.
I like John Coltrane, a tenor saxophonist, the Campbell Alley Quintet, Miles Davis, Lee Morgan, Freddie Hubbard, Joe Henderson, Eric Dolphy, and my favourite music is when the Beatles went solo. So from 1970 onwards, when the Beatles went solo, I really like that kind of music. I have a gig buddy, so I go to concerts and out to eat with my gig buddy. And occasionally, we have a takeout. We went to the Spiegel Tent, yeah. It was Herbie Flowers. I really enjoyed it, and the tenor saxophonist was simply marvellous. Recently, I went with my gig buddy, and we went to Zizzy's, where you can have fondue. I had fondue for a starter. I love fondue. And my favourite foods are Chinese food and East Indian food. I like lamb du piazza. Tikva is a home. People live here with me because I suffer from Asperger's. Most people don't seem to understand it. And all the staff are very competent and very caring. But because they don't have a background, except with one exception, I am left not being able to explain exactly what is wrong with me, because often it is taken out of context.
That was Johnny in Brighton. Next, let's catch up with Sam about his experiences travelling, visiting friends, and playing a gig.
I was asked to perform at a local gig at very short notice, just a few days. I was glad that I didn't get put on first at these gigs I always used to do, and I often do at gigs in general. The act that was going on first, I felt a bit bad that there weren't many people there, as we didn't have much time to promote the gig. I was standing at the bar, and then I thought, if I move a bit forward, it will look more like he has more of an audience. I made sure I didn't drink any alcohol before I went on, something I used to always do and don't always do when gigs or open mic performances don't seem as important, but I wanted to make sure I didn't drink before I performed this time. The band who were headlining were meant to also go on second. They didn't want to do this, and I was asked to go on second instead. This would mean going on earlier than the time I was booked to perform at. Someone who was coming to watch me could only get there for the time that my set was meant to start, so I didn't want to go on early. I felt proud that I was standing my ground and refusing to be pressured to perform early. I also know that with gigs, it's nearly always the case that the later you go on, the more people are there, so I didn't want to go on earlier than I was told to. My performance went down really well. I was glad of all the compliments I received, including from the band who performed, the people putting on the gig, and everyone. I even heard someone from the band talk to one of the guys putting on the gig and say he enjoyed my set. So it was nice he wasn't just saying it to me, he was saying it to other people as well. I travelled to meet two friends, one of whose birthday it recently was. As I'm often early when I arrive to places and waiting for other people to arrive, I didn't try to make loads of extra time to get there like I normally do. I ended up finding it really hard to find the place, even though I didn't think I should because I'd been there before. I felt really bad even though my friend said it was fine. It was really nice to hang out again, and we used to often hang out in this area fairly regularly a bit ago, and it had stopped. I thought it wasn't going to happen again, so it was really nice it was happening again. We took some photos together, and there was these types of photos that we always took. It felt nice that we had an in-friend thing, something that I often don't feel I have and see other people have, so it was nice to have that. Me and one of my friends there talked about an episode of a TV show that we both really liked. It was great to know she liked that episode too, and to talk about it, to see she appreciated it as well and enjoyed talking about it together. Saying goodbye at the train station, it was nice both friends wanted a hug, and one of my friends wanted two hugs. We waved bye when I got on the train. When my train left, my friend waved to me again. It was really nice. It was really nice to see that I do have close friends.
Finally, let's hear from Stuart in Worthing about his feelings whilst he prepares to live independently for the first time.
I'm Stuart. I live in Worthing. I'm getting ready to move into my own flat. It's the first time I'll be living independently. I've been living with my family. They've been teaching me how to do shopping and how to keep my flat tidy and to be organised. I've been looking forward to opening my front door and realising there's my own space, which is really, really lovely. The really positive things about moving out is I feel like I can be on my own 2 feet, and when I do the shopping for the flat, it makes me feel more independent and more capable of doing things. I've been going out and buying essential things that I need for the flat, bin liners and cleaning equipment to make the place smell nice. One of the reasons why it's been a bit challenging is because I've got so many clothes. I had to put them in loads of different bags, so it's like that can be stressful, and washing them all in one day is stressful as well. The most difficult part will be saying goodbye to the family. That's finding it really difficult at the moment. They're proud and a bit concerned at the same time, but they just want me to get on with life and enjoy it.
Thank you to Stuart, Susanna, Johnny and Sam for their diaries.
You're listening to Carousel Radio.
This is
news.
And coming up on the 21st of November this year, we have the Blue Camel Club, which this time has a theme where you can come dressed as your favourite T3 character. There'll be music, there'll be dancing, there'll be lights, there'll be alcohol, and there'll be a whole bunch of fun. It's £5.50 to get in, and it's going to take place at the Old Market, and it's from 7 till 10pm. The Old Market is located in Hove, and you can find out more information and get your tickets at the Carousel website, which is carousel.org.uk/whatson.
So I'm sure there are some people out there that are wondering what we look like. Well, a gentle reminder that Season 3 of Carousel TV is out now. At the time of recording, Episode 1 has been released, 2 will be happening soon. As mentioned, both me and something calling itself Jason will also be there. So if you want to see us, then go to Carousel Art UK's YouTube channel. Yes, it's art singular. Check it out.
And that's it. That's the end of this show. Which is why we have to thank a bunch of people. So we're going to start off with thanking Electric Mutant X.
And of course, guest band Dean Rodney Jr. and the Cowboys.
Johnny Schachter and Sam Castile Ward.
We also would like to thank Susanna and Stuart.
And thanks to Charlie Haddon.
Lastly and leastly, of course, Sea King Jason.
Thank you very much. And you, Joel.
And me.
We'll be back with a brand new podcast in December.
Thank you for listening to Carousel Radio.
This podcast is brought to you by Carousel, helping people with learning disabilities to reach their potential in the arts.